Coming to you live from the Jim Butler Ballroom at the Mitzvah Hotel. It's time for another commute with your hosts, Faye and Brenda. This is Drive Time to Nova.
Hello, this is the Faye Driver.
This is Carmel Rosen. In for Brenda Boo.
Oh.
She's on hiatus.
I see. And you're listening to, as you know, because we've run an open here, this is Drive Time to Nopa. We're in the mobile recording studio today, Brenda. Carmel.
And actually, we're doing the morning commute.
We are.
So this is good. Apropos.
Very apropos.
Let's do a wellness check. How are you?
Who started that nonsense?
I believe that'd be the smelly of the top.
I'm pretty good. Despite feeling like I'm gonna have a couple of hectic weeks coming up, I feel refreshed and alive. Maybe because work hasn't been as stressful and hectic as it had been in the past couple of weeks or months. So maybe that's why.
Gotten a bit of a reprieve.
Yeah.
Do you want to share any information about what's going on the next 2 weeks?
I want to strangle one of my coworkers still. Oh, okay. So that hasn't changed.
Okay.
But coming up, I'm going on. I have Mother Anderson is coming to visit with her boyfriend.
The cop.
Kappa. Gonna have a kappa in my house.
You better put away all the drug muling evidence that I've been supplying for you.
We call that sanitizing.
Oh, is that true? Is that something you've come up with, or is that true?
Well, that's what I call it.
Oh my god. Who have I gotten myself involved in?
And then Mr. Anderson and I are going on vacation.
Woohoo!
We're going to go to the same place that you've been before, you Clulet.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. How long are you going to be up there?
5 days.
Cool. And one of those little condo-y things?
That's correct.
Awesome.
And Mother Anderson and the cop are coming as well.
Oh!
So.
It's a family affair.
Yes.
Well, try not to push them into the ocean like you did me.
And what about you, Brenda? What's your wellness status?
Oopsie. Well, Faye, I'm in a very good mood because I'm not at work.
Yes.
Because when I'm at work, I'm very stressed out and unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So we call that relief in my country. And, I don't know, I've been feeling pretty good. Been eating better.
Oh yes, you have been eating much better, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And how's your body reacting to all this healthy food?
Well, fine, I guess. But
I need to change the recording settings because we're...
Should I stop it?
Yes. Okay, folks, sorry about that. We just had a little technical issue there. I'm sorry if we sound a little different, but hopefully we sound a little better. So you were saying, Carmel, you're not working. That's called relief.
Oh, and there's been some crap that's been happening at work that isn't so pleasant, so when I'm away from it, my happiness level has definitely increased. I honestly don't know how long I can keep this job up. But I'm trying. I'm using it as boot camp. I think I'd mentioned that before. So,
right. Boot camp in the way of getting your body in shape.
Correct.
So you've been eating healthier. Mm-hmm. I have two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed a cost difference? Is it more expensive to eat healthy?
Correct. Absolutely.
Right. Because why?
Because, like, you could go to Wendy's and eat off the dollar menu and get a meal for, like, less than $3. And if you want to eat something that's, you know, nicer at a restaurant, you're talking about at least $10.
Right.
And then if you go to the store, like, you can get pizza, like a little frozen pizza, you can buy a box for like $2.50. So you can have a meal for $1.25. Versus if you buy lettuce and then get some cheese and, you know, some cucumber and zucchini and you make a nice salad. Mm-hmm. You know, that all costs more than that. Plus, you've got the factor of it might spoiling before you can get to it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's more expensive.
So, question two, how's your body reacting to this food and this change? And are you noticing any significant differences in your ability to function, work, you know, sleep, wake, that kind of stuff?
There's some gassiness that I hadn't experienced before because it's... But then all that is seems to have a counter effect of also being easier.
Oh. Things are moving along easier.
Right.
Better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And since I haven't been drinking soda pop.
Right.
I feel much, I don't know how to say it. My appetite has decreased. I've read that supposedly aspartame is actually an appetite stimulant.
Oh.
And I kind of wonder if it is because I'm not having... You know, I never thought I had a lot of cravings, and but it's even better now, right? And with eating better, I found out a lot of these calories that I was ingesting that I didn't want to acknowledge, like...
Oh, yes.
I told you about peanut butter.
Right.
So I no longer have peanut butter in my house. So in order to combat that, like late last night, like I wanted a little treat, so I bought some little pudding cups. So instead of like... eating a whole bunch of peanut butter, which has like what 180 calories and a couple tablespoons.
Mm-hmm.
I just had like a pudding cup for 110 calories.
Oh, good.
And that satisfied it.
Right.
So.
Well, that's good. Good for you.
It's all just leftovers of cope, trying to using things to cope with unhappiness and stress,
and right.
them outliving their purpose. Their purpose or their usefulness, I guess. And then, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to indulge in this stuff.
You mean the worse it is when you indulge in this stuff, it's hard on you? I don't understand that. The older you get, the harder it is to indulge. Explain.
So, you know, if you're 20 and you go out drinking and then you go to work, you can probably make your, the next morning, you can probably get your way through it. When you're 50, if you keep that same lifestyle up, it's probably a lot more difficult to go to work hungover.
Right.
So I guess you feel the effects, you pay for it a lot more.
Uh-huh.
Your body doesn't, you know, metabolize foods as much as it, fast as it used to.
Right.
Things yes. like that. And your body just digests food differently as you get older. Like,
mm-hmm.
I
will agree with this.
Yeah.
Because having recently clicked 1 year older, I noticed almost the day that I turned 49, my body is not processing food the same way.
Really?
I feel like I eat something and it hangs inside my stomach for so long, and I feel like everything I eat is just staying on my body, hanging off my flesh in the form of fat.
Yes.
And I've had to make even more changes to my eating, or I'm trying to make more changes to my eating habits because I got into some bad habits, and it's just everything's working against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, you don't have a physical job.
Right.
You sit. All yeah. your work is in your brain and your fingers.
Right.
So. Plus, you know, with the weather changing. That helps the moods. Actually, yesterday I went down by the water and literally just sat on a park bench soaking up the sun for an hour.
Right.
That felt good.
Making the oldsters angry at you.
I think I interrupted his life somehow. Yeah. Like, I always ride my bike and get on the sit on this park bench, and who is this woman think she is? You could have sat his ass down. I moved my purse.
Right.
But I wasn't going to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, here on the West Coast, we do tend to get beaten down by the winter weather.
Yes.
It's relentless. Mm-hmm. Or unrelenting, maybe a better word.
Yes.
So now we've had, like, almost 2 weeks of sun, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And everybody, you can tell, because everyone is feeling like, oh, it's a rebirth. There's a new year started now, and life can carry on. It's like the flowers in our brains are blooming now because the sun is shining down on them.
Mm-hmm.
And our seasonal affected disorders are
taking a break.
Bay. Yeah. I do love the sunny, warm weather, and I love being hot.
And I don't love being hot.
No, I don't mind it at all. So, my spirits are lifted.
Plus, you got another vacation.
Yeah, in a week. Not for another couple weeks, but.
So, I was getting my hair trimmed yesterday, and this lady was very pleasant and sweet, and actually I think she did a good job cutting my hair for a change, and getting a lot of bad haircuts lately. She asked me, was I from Tonopah, and I said, no, I was from Iowa, and she asked me if I liked it here, and I really just couldn't come out and just say, uh-huh. Because I'm still adapting, and not just to the weather, but to the people. And I was writing down in my journal the other day.
Oh, my journal.
My journal.
Dear journal.
There's no dear anything in it. And I was trying to put my finger on it. Like, what was the problem I was having with the people in this area of the world?
Yes.
And it all comes down to, like, this entitlement is the best word I've come up with. Like this, I don't have to put myself out for you. You're no better than me. Whereas back home, it's not that you think people are better than you, but there seems like there's a stronger feeling of cooperation between people.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And, like, not like, you know, shit on you before you can shit on me attitudes.
Right.
Like, I let somebody in traffic today.
Oh.
I could have, like, just sped up. He didn't have the right of way, but I held back a little, and, you know, it was on in the side. It was in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me a big thank you wave.
Oh, good.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that made me feel good, because I felt like, oh, I made this guy's life just a little bit easier today.
Right.
But that doesn't happen much around here.
You're correct.
Yes. So, I think that's the biggest problem I'm having. It's just kind of like this. You know, like, back home, it was like, everything's for the greater good of the group. And so that can be oppressive, right? Because you feel like, I don't have any rights, I don't matter.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
But here, it's like this constant pissing contest.
Right.
That gets very old.
It's like, mine, mine, mine. This is my stuff. These are my groceries. This is my lane.
Yeah.
Get away from me. What are you doing looking at me?
Right.
What do you want?
Did you notice that when you moved here?
Well, when I moved here, I don't think it was as bad, because I've been in the Vancouver area for almost 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I had been here several times before. So I'm used to the sort of city life rat race. I had encountered it before. And it wasn't much of a surprise. And I don't think the attitude was quite as bad 20 years ago as it has gotten in the last even 5 years. So,
do you feel like that maybe the fact that so many things have been normalized like things that people used to be kind of embarrassed about, like being a drug addict or an alcoholic. It's just like, now it's just like, well, everybody has a story about how they had a horrible childhood and how they're entitled to go through their years
right.
as an addict of some sort.
Right.
And now we have to honor them because they chose the path of being oblivious to life.
Right. Yeah, there is a...
That was quite a rant, wasn't it?
It was, right?
That was a good one.
There is a certain aspect of that into life. Absolutely. And you do see this. This is very common.
And there's no... It's like... I don't know. People that don't go down that path are somehow seen as... I don't know, like... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I know, yeah. Let's get off this topic.
All right. That was a good rant, though.
So, that's our wellness check. We're just a little bit ranty, mostly feeling good about life, trying to make our lives better and more, being more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we got going on?
So, I have a question for you, Faye.
All right. Here we go.
I'm at work the other day, and I'm going through the drawers because you're supposed to make sure nobody leaves anything behind. And in one of the drawers was a bottle of pills.
Oh.
And this particular bottle of pills was an appetite suppressant. It was considered a controlled substance. And it actually crossed my mind to just not say anything and try and take these and see what happened. But I didn't. I was just like, you know... Mm-hmm. I better give it back. But I Googled it. I found the picture of the pill. It looked like it was the pill. It wasn't something else. And if it had been something else, like some kind of, you know, like something that makes you
like
feel
a pain
happy
killer,
pill.
Yeah.
Yeah. My question to you is, if you found medication that you could verify that was actually what it was, would you just take it?
I don't know that I would. I mean, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
I would want to have... I think I might do it if there was some peer pressure. Like if someone said, Faye, you gotta try these. They'll make you feel giddy. Then
really?
I might do it.
Oh.
But if I just found a bottle of pills... I don't know. I don't think so.
What about if you found some food that was in its original packaging?
Like in a dumpster?
No, like in a refrigerator of a place where you worked. Like you knew that the people prior had just been eating it and just left it behind or something.
Yeah. So has it been opened already and other people's fingers touched it?
No. Or what if it was like a piece of fruit?
Yeah.
Something you could wash.
I could see myself eating that. Like George Costanza and the donut in the garbage can.
It was sitting on top. I know of a circumstance where a person took a gallon of ice cream home, or a big gallon bucket that had probably been eaten out of, and took it home to her people. I don't know that I would do that. But you gotta figure, you
I mean,
know.
But, yeah, I can see. I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But the pill question is different because this is a substance that's going to alter your, mm-hmm. you know, like this. There's a level of risk here. If I take these pills, I'm going to get high or, you know, or something bad might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't go around going, how can I get high today?
You don't.
Appetite suppressants.
Wow. Who are you, Faye? It's somebody different than I thought you were. What about if, say you were at your job.
Although, you know, what if
What
if you came across, like if you came across a half consumed bottle of liquor that was left behind, I think 100% I snatched that up, right?
Okay.
So
there was somebody that offered me their bottle of wine that they didn't finish. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, okay, liquor is not one of my things. It's right. not really a big draw. Okay, how about this? You're at work. You're not indifferent to your coworkers, but on some level you kind of feel a little hostility towards them.
Okay.
So you're not buddies.
We're in real life here.
Yeah. So you go into a place and you are responsible for picking up some tips and getting them to the appropriate person. And you go into a penthouse and you go in the first room and there's a $20 bill. And you're like, oh, okay, stick it in the envelope. Then you go to, it's a 3-bedroom unit. You go to the next bedroom and there's $40 left behind. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, whoa. So then you go to the next bedroom and there's $20 left behind. So it's clearly three couples that have shared this place and they've all left a tip adding up to $80.
Yes.
Would you, in your wildest imagination, pluck one of those 20s and put it in your pocket? Or even the whole thing?
I don't think I could do the whole thing because that's too... That's, it's unlikely that a large room like that isn't going to leave a tip, right?
There's no, we don't see that many tips.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a real moral dilemma, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. $80, you know, that's about a day's worth
right.
of work for me.
Yeah. I don't think, I might take 20 and share 60.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I thought about doing that exact same thing, but I...
You did the right thing.
I did the right thing.
Good for you.
And I even held myself accountable for it. I told people. I was like, okay, I'm going to tell people, hey, there's a big tip.
Uh-huh.
And so then I couldn't change my mind. I told what the right. amount was and everything. Okay. Here's another.
Boy, you're really testing my resolve here, aren't you?
Oh.
Trying to get me to...
No, I'm not. These are just things that have happened to me lately.
These are difficult questions.
Here's another thing. You're at work. You're in a new position. You're at your present job, but you have some different new responsibilities.
Okay.
And one of the things you have to do is say, call the chief besides calling everybody else when you do a fire. So this is an extra step
yep.
you never had to do before.
Right.
And you're doing your thing. You go out to the general area to get a cup of coffee or something. And you hear one of your coworkers say, Faye just got a hold of the chief just now. A half an hour. You know, it's been a half an hour since that fire call went out. But you hear him say, Faye just got a hold of him.
Yeah.
And you are within 5 feet of them. They just don't know it. Would you call them out on it? Would you keep going? What would you do if you overheard people gossiping about?
Mm-hmm. I think I would be too scared to confront someone about that.
Because
I'm new and trying to learn and trying to put a... I think it would be hurtful. I would be upset about it. I would like wear it and carry it around with me. But I don't. Do I know these people very well? Because I've been working here for a while, right? This is just one thing that I didn't get right.
Right.
Do I hate these people or
You're indifferent. Sometimes you thought they were a decent person. Let's say that. That they've always been friendly to your face. You thought that you had a nice working relationship.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that I would... I think that I would not say anything. And then I would stew about it and have a bad dream about it. And then carry on with life.
Yeah. So, what do you think about the reaction I had where I said, I can hear you, you know, because I was so mad. Mm-hmm. And it was just like...
I think it's good that you did that.
It was just like this reaction of like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Right.
And you're not my boss, and I'm going to say something to you. I don't know. Oh, Faye.
Yeah, I think it's fine that you... I mean, these people don't matter, really, no. Do they?
No.
I mean, I feel like a person needs to be given an opportunity to learn how to do their job, a new job like this, too. And people are going to make mistakes. When I train people to do my job, I allow them to make mistakes so that they can recover and figure out and learn better. Because you can't protect people from everything. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to need to figure things out for yourself. So there's a value in letting people learn their own way.
And technically, I hadn't even made a mistake.
Right. You were just having troubles with the volume of work.
Yeah.
Because it was an unusual day.
Right. I was having to carry the load for all the my coworkers versus having them split up. So they were just talking out of their ass, for one thing. They didn't know what was going on.
Right.
So we're kind of in some traffic here. This is morning traffic.
Yes.
Typical commute situation.
Correct.
Uh-oh. Oh. We still have a yellow, buddy. So, I just want to say, normally, I don't think about this stuff. I guess I'm not a good podcaster, but I do want to acknowledge that David, that blue jeans guy, and his fiance,
Mr. Green Jeans.
Yep. Their apartment caught on fire. And I know he'll never hear this, but I am really, really kind of hurt my heart when I read that. So.
Yeah, very unfortunate. So sorry, David. We're thinking about you. And if anybody can help in some way to help David get back on his feet, maybe do what you can.
They have a GoFundMe page.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah. So, I don't know what the name of it is under. I probably should have researched it. But I know they do have a GoFundMe page already set up.
We'll put the GoFundMe page information into our show notes. So, you can look in the lyrics or the information on this file. And you should be able to see it on your phone or your computer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready for a new topic?
Yes. Hit me.
So, we're in the wrong lane, Faye.
Well, we're zipping down to... We're doing a zipper merge.
Oh. And we're actually doing it correctly.
Why, whatever do you mean, Brenda?
No, I mean...
Oh, people are doing it correctly.
People are allowing it to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Not just blaring through. Anyway. So, Faye, I have been on my own now for a year and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been about a year and a half now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, because I let... Whatever. A year and a half. And I finally feel like I've shaken the shadow of my relationship off my psyche.
Ah, yes.
Like, it's hard to go from 18 years of constantly considering somebody else's schedule and take... For me, anyway. It's taken a while to take charge and go, wait, I don't need to sit on my hands and wait and see what they're going to do. In fact, I can't do that. I need to take charge of what's happening here.
Right.
And part of that was, like, I had really given up years ago on doing girly stuff.
Oh.
And the fact that you and Mr. Anderson keep calling me a lesbian is very unnerving to me.
I have never called you a lesbian.
Inference was pretty strong. I've never once indicated in any way that I like women in that way. I think I do. I bash women constantly.
True.
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and this is a self-serving conversation, but I want to explain to you how this particular look of mine has come together, okay?
Okay. All right.
So when I was younger and in high school, I really tried to, I was all about the girly stuff, but my hair wouldn't work. It wouldn't cooperate. Mm-hmm. And I tried and I tried and I tried, and everything I tried didn't work. And I didn't have money to buy the clothes that I wanted. So eventually it became the mid-80s, and the androgynous look was very popular.
Oh, yes.
And I said, that's for me.
Thank you, David Bowie.
That's right. So, and then my jobs came to be that I never was out in the public. I was just in people's homes, or I was working. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, God, I'm sweating my butt off all day. Why am I bothering with all this? So I just stopped. It's really out of convenience more than anything. And plus, like I said, living with another human, it just, mm-hmm. I never felt like I had control over my day. I always felt like I was under somehow his, like, this is what we're going to do now, and be ready to go at a moment's notice, and come on, come on, come on. And
mm-hmm. jump.
Jump, yep. So I've started doing these things again, right?
What do you mean you're not ready to go bowling?
Bowling? That was one of our deals. So, plus I just felt like the amount of effort it took to get the output that I got was just stupid. I just didn't feel like I looked that much better.
Uh-huh.
So
you gave up.
I gave up. I was just like, fuck it, whatever. And I've been weight conscious since I'm like, 10 years old. That shit gets to you after a while.
Right.
And then I was like, I hooked my husband. This is it. I just kind of like, I'm going to relax for a while. That's right. What it felt like. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I'm single again, and it's funny because I really don't have a strong desire to go out and find some new idiot to latch onto. Mm-hmm. I have really almost like zero desire to do that. Mm-hmm. But I do find myself wanting to look pretty again. So, I guess I wanted to talk to you and explain that just because you see me this is how you see me, that's not how I see myself. I see inside of me, I'm a goofy little girl.
Right.
And I can't figure out a way to wear the clothes that would look nice and present myself so I feel like what's on the inside. Does that make sense? So I just, this is just like whatever, fuck it. Since I can't wear the clothes that I want to wear and have the hair that I want and look the way I want, then here, fine. This is just totally utilitarian.
I understand that. All right.
So we're going to eat pancakes.
Yeah.
Pancake day.
And are we coming back for more?
Yeah. Stay over. Bitch, they didn't stay over.
All right. Stay tuned. There's more coming.
Okay, we're back from breakfast at Slow Cans.
The best pancakes in the world.
Are we renouncing that title?
I was going to say, how do you feel today about the best pancakes in the world?
There's been a place that has taken their...
Yeah, they've been usurped.
Yes, that's it. What's the name of that place?
Izba, or something. Izba? Izba?
Oh.
Izba Bistro.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why they called it that. It's silly. Anyway, yeah, it's whatever. It's a nice little restaurant. Anyway, so pancakes today, maybe not the best. Not as good as they have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have to travel a considerable distance to get to them.
So we're going to say...
So I think we might have to give the Slow Can a rest.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
All right. So, it wasn't bad.
No, it was good breakfast.
It's fine, yeah.
Usually I attack those pancakes like,
a banshee.
Or like they're...
Like you've been on a Survivor show and it's your first day back.
Naked and Afraid.
Right.
Have you seen that show?
I sure have.
What a fucking idiotic premise that is. Jesus Christ. So, Faye...
We're going to put you on this show. Yes. You could die. but
it'll be great
TV.
Yeah, and the chances of you getting some kind of parasite in the water that you drink is very high.
Right.
Or if you cut yourself getting infected. But, you know, prove to yourself that you may or may not survive if you get dropped off naked on an uninhabited island somewhere.
Right.
Okay, Faye, I've got a deep... This is the deep section of the podcast.
All right, then.
Up till now, we've just been talking about fashion and different things like that. But now we're going to talk about some serious
subject. This is the heart of the matter.
The heart of Drive Time to Nome.
Okay, here we go.
So, Faye, I was listening to a podcast, and this woman has a blog Twitter account called So Sad Today.
Oh, So Sad Today.
And what an odd thing to name your Twitter account, right? But it's gotten a lot very popular. And it seems like the disease du jour is depression.
Yes.
You know what they say? I liked country when country wasn't cool. Remember, you know that expression?
I've heard that, yes.
I've had depression when depression wasn't cool.
Ah, right.
And so they talk about it like... it's not like something... I always thought of depression as something that I was kind of embarrassed about. And because there was always that, you know, there's a stigma, get over it, cheer up, you know, shit like that.
Why can't you be happier?
Yeah, well, you're such a downer. She was talking about it like people need to stand and take notice that I suffer from depression.
I see.
That's, I finally got it. You know, not like the poor people that have gotten limbs cut off. You know,
right?
They suffer in silence, but you know, everybody needs to know. And I'm gonna go ahead and say I don't think people should suffer in silence, because I like to hear people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's like a badge of courage. I don't know. But I shouldn't say that because I've been at the depths of depression.
Yeah, but this is people. They're have been suffering in silence for too long, and depression has a bad name, right? I mean, it's right. I wouldn't tell anyone I was suffering from depression because that's so embarrassing.
Right.
But if I lose my limb, I saw my hand off with a chainsaw, that's... No, I don't need to be ashamed of that just because I'm an idiot and don't know how to use a chainsaw. Why should I be ashamed of that? So... I think depression... I have two thoughts about depression. I think we should be speaking about depression, or we need to recognize that depression is a real disease.
Right.
And needs to be treated, needs to be addressed, and that we shouldn't be afraid to say, I suffer from depression.
Right.
Because the more you talk about it, the better things would get, and more people would know about it. More attention would be brought to the problem, and it wouldn't be such a stigma to suffer from this problem.
Right.
So fine, I agree that depression is a problem, but then I also think this woman is being like a militant depressionist. Right?
Depressionist.
Because she feels very important that everybody needs to know how depressed she is. So there's she has a different attitude about this. She's very vocal, which I guess is fine. Some people need to be that way, but...
Well, she wrote a book about it. So, I guess, anyway, so one of the things that was brought up in this conversation was the interviewer asked, if you could talk to your depression like a separate entity than outside of yourself, what would you say to it? So I want to ask you, what do you think has been your biggest barrier in your life for happiness, and could you have a conversation with it? Like, what do you think? What's the biggest obstacle in your life that keeps you from being at your best, I guess?
Well, I don't know. I guess probably being gay is, like, the biggest aspect of my life that has prevented me from being a happier person.
Right.
So, but this whole concept of talking to your
I think it's about weakness. Being able to disengage a little bit and get yourself distanced from it. So, because, like, with something that you live with all the time is so close that you can only see it through all these clouds of experiences, thoughts, emotions. If you can just pull it away from yourself a little bit, and, like, a lot of times, for example, a lot of times if I'm in the middle of something and I'm getting my feelings hurt, mm-hmm. and I think I'm getting walked on or whatever, I will actually stop and say, I've said this, what would Faye do at this moment? And I kind of, like, pulls me out of this situation. I know that you have a very strong sense of self and your rights. And I think, well, would Faye put up with this? No. Then why should I think that it's okay for me to put up with it? If it's not right for my friend to put up with it, why do I think I should have to? Mm-hmm. So I kind of put some distance between.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start out? I'll say something with my depression. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. To talk, Brenda, talk to your depression. Tell me what you'd like to say to your depression.
I have two things I would say. First, I want to talk about if I could talk to myself as being a girl.
Oh.
Just being a female. This is not to say that I feel like a man trapped in a woman's body. That's not it. But this is what I would say to the female part of my mm-hmm. humanness, is that just because you're a girl doesn't mean you have to cow down to everybody. Just because you're a girl doesn't mean you have to rely on your looks for acceptance all the time. You're more than just your looks. Lots of people that you like are not perfect in appearance, and you don't think of them as less of a person. So why should the girl in me think of me as less than a good person because of my appearance? Just because you're a girl and you have varying levels of hormonal level in your body every month, although it's calmed down, thank God. Menopause may be here. And doesn't mean that you don't have the right to feel agitated and grumpy and pissy. You don't have to smile and be friendly all the time. Just because you're a girl doesn't mean the fact that you have a hard time losing weight versus a man doesn't mean you're not trying to lose weight. Those are some of the things I would say to my girl part of me.
All right, that's wonderful.
And depression, I would say, for me, I think my depression started out as situational, and then how, yes, there's a boy. Everybody listening, a guy, who knows what
he was carrying a branch. He was carrying some weird branch.
Yeah.
I was just like, plus he looked like Shaggy from Scooby and Shaggy.
Oh, I just thought, I was like, guess what?
This there's a boy.
There's a boy. Dun, 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 dun. Breaking news. A man walks down the street.
There's a bunch of children. There's a bunch of children, Brenda.
Oh, me as a girl would be interested in that? Is
no,
that
I'm just saying. I don't
know. I'm not a pedophile, Faye. I don't like that.
Carry on. Depression. Dear depression.
Dear depression, I know you came about at a time in my life when I felt like I had no control, that I was trying to fit into a bunch of roles and standards that I never could do, and I was getting unsolicited advice and input from other people, and rather than be mad at them, I internalized it and made myself feel bad about it. Now, depression, you can fuck off and leave. I've had enough of you. I'm tired of dealing with you, and I don't think I'd ever deserved you in the first place.
I see.
And I was not weak in having it. I'm strong. I survived it. You know how much, Faye, do you know how much crap I've had to go through just to get the medications I've needed over the years? I've spent a lot of time and effort going to doctors, going to free clinics, doing this, doing that. It's not like just going and getting a prescription filled.
Well, I'm glad that talking to your depression and your girl parts has helped you in this way. I mean, obviously for you, this is very helpful.
I think. Just did it. I hadn't pre-thought of this. This is just all vomiting.
Oh, very excellent. Very good. And how do you feel now that you've gotten these things out?
That I feel like I've... it always feels like I'm on this alien planet where I'm saying, this is what I think should be the norm. Like, it doesn't matter if you are attracted to me, straight man, and don't want to have sex with me or not. You can still be pleasant to me. You don't have to be a fucking asswipe. And if I'm talking to you, doesn't mean I want to fuck you either. It just means I'm a cordial human being.
Right.
So, it's always been me trying to fit into a world that I don't feel like makes any goddamn sense. That's what it boils down to. All these games and bullshit. Like, you gotta depend on a man. If you don't have a man, I mean, you aren't worth anything. Being an old maid. And all the names they have for spinster women.
Right.
And how... And there's just so much socially accepted putting down of women that it's just like...
Yeah.
No. Yeah, and. Yeah, and. So. What would you say to your gay...
I don't have anything to say to my gayness. I resolved my gayness a long time ago.
Right. Well... But then I wanted you to pick something different.
Oh. I don't subscribe to this method of dealing with your issues.
Yeah? What do you
do? Because I don't think... I mean, not everybody... I don't feel like I have any significant problems in my life.
Okay.
My body, my head... My psyche that I need to stand in front of a mirror and justify or rail against my problems.
Okay, that's fine. You sound like you're getting defensive. It's just an idea.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound defensive, but I don't think that this is a strategy that will benefit me.
Okay,
because I feel quite happy about myself. But I understand this is a very good tool, and I think it's a very effective tool, but it's just one of the tools that I'll bet you that a psychologist is one of the tools in the drawer, a drawer full of tools to help people deal with the things that make them feel not the best about themselves.
Right.
So, I support this idea. I just don't feel that I don't have anything that I'm so... that I'm very displeased about myself with.
I've always felt like I had to subscribe to a systems of beliefs that I didn't have any say in how they were put together or the standards, and I resent it. That's where my hostility comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why do I have to follow your rules, your guidelines, and in order to feel like I'm included? And that's all I've wanted, was just to feel included.
And you should. I wish you had figured this out 20 years ago, right? These are the things. If you had done this little exercise we just did just now, 20 years ago, you would have been so much happier in your life. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think because you've been oppressed by these things that you were just talking about. trying to live up to other men's ideals and being told, this is who you are. This is how you fit into this society, Brenda. You don't matter. You're not a woman. You're not woman enough. Mm-hmm. If you had discarded all of these ideas a long time ago, you'd be much happier. You would have been much happier.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like I had to live and try and live that traditional female life before I could give up on it, the idea of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But looking positively, looking forward, I mean, this is terrific that you're doing this now. And I remember a year and a half ago when you started this new life, you weren't really ready to be. You weren't ready. You weren't at this stage in your life that you are right now, right? There was a long journey that you had to take to get to this point where you are today.
I've given up the notion of being right for right's sake, because all that stuff that happened to me regarding my job, I thought I was doing the right thing, and it still didn't fucking matter. Mm. So I guess I've lived some experiences that have challenged these long-held beliefs.
Right.
And finally I'm like, these are not serving me any good.
Mm-hmm. Enough is enough.
Yeah. And I think I'm okay company. That was one of the things that in my marriage, I always felt like somebody was judging me while they felt like they were free of the labels and the judgment. Like I had to accept them for how they were, but they were free to tell me my weaknesses and all the time. And I bought it.
You're no longer the whipping girl.
Yeah, exactly. So to round it out, I think that's where the depression came from.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like I can relate to what you went through mm-hmm. so well, because
you were expected to be, we were all expected to be somebody that we never wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. And we both went through our versions of trying to be what they wanted us to be. For right. you, it only, fortunately, nipped it in the bud in your 20s.
Right.
I have a very slow learning curve, I guess. All right. Is there anything else you want to say? I think I vomited out quite a bit of information.
I just want to say dogs should not be coming into businesses. Correct. If you have a dog and you take your dog into a store, you're a bad person. You can send your letters to fayandbrenda@gmail.com.
Weather here is cloudy and 54 degrees in Tonopah. Say goodbye, Faye.
Goodbye.
Hello, Faye Driver. This is Drive Time Tonopah. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. This is an addendum to our podcast that we did the other day.
Right.
Which you will have heard in full by now. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me. It was kind of like a cathartic moment where I finally said a lot of stuff that I'd always kind of wanted to express, and I don't think I ever said it very succinctly.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a strong reaction. And do you want to express how you felt? Like, you have a lot of reservations about whether you thought I wanted this out in the atmosphere for people to consume.
Yeah, because I was concerned about, I mean, you were speaking, quote, air quotes, speaking to your depression and to your femaleness and how you made it through the world being viewed as a female. And you were just sort of, you were shouting out against how angry you were for the way the world made you feel about your life and stuff like that. mm-hmm. and your person. And I was concerned that this is kind of raw and visceral, and I wasn't sure that you might want to share these kind of strong feelings with the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been one to kind of put it out there because, for the most part, most of my life, I've been trying to find somebody that would say, "Hey, I'm like you," mm-hmm. you know, and it's always been kind of like my, what's that expression? Like my grapevine when you extend a what? What is that?
Olive branch.
There you go. Some kind of fruit. Extend an olive branch out to somebody. Say, "Listen, here. This is what I'm about. Do you want to grab on the other end and we can be compadres or whatever?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's never bothered me, but.
Not entirely the metaphor of the olive branch, but I get what you're going for.
I know. Well, what would you say then? I like this kind of candy. Do you like it too? I don't know.
Here, little girl, you want some candy?
I've got this nice van. There's no windows. You won't be bothered with the world.
Anyway, we get the idea. You want to express to people, "I've experienced these situations in my life, and what about you?"
Right.
Yeah, right.
So the other day, after we'd been going back and forth about this, because I was just like, "I don't care. Put it out in the world. I don't care." And
I was like, "Well, maybe you better listen again.
Stop. Cease and desist."
Right.
So I had gone out and about on my day off, and I was in Value Village. You have those mm-hmm. in your country, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got up to the cash register, and there was this tall, skinny guy with long hair that was kind of stuck up into a loose bun, and he had a lily stuck in the back of his head, and his name was River. And
I'm sorry, River, you're a unique and beautiful person.
Yes. And I tweeted about it, just like, "Ugh, God, look at this. Here's some guy named River." And then I got away from the, you know, I tweeted it. I thought it was so funny and clever that I said something about this. And then I got a few minutes away from the situation, and I thought, what is my deal? Because there was nothing wrong with this guy. He was pleasant enough. He was just doing his job. There was absolutely nothing wrong with this person.
Right.
And I took his uniqueness and this, you know, mm-hmm. my sarcastic bend on it. Like, there was something wrong with the fact that his crazy parents felt the need to name him River.
Right.
You know, it wasn't his fault. He didn't sign up to be born from hippies.
Right.
And it just kind of, I don't know, it was a kind of a clarity of thought. That it's just like, why do I get pleasure out of poking at people who mm-hmm. have no impact on my life?
Right.
Right? It was like a 5-second interaction that I witnessed. And it just got me thinking, what does it matter? Right? And this mm-hmm. is what I was talking to you about. Like,
right.
I'm mad because people say you're a girl and this is the way girls need to behave and you need to be pretty and you need to be at the side of some man's arm and you're not worth anything unless you bore a child and you've got this beautiful family to show for it, you know?
Right.
So I thought, well, I'm doing the same thing to him that I hate the fact that people do to me.
Right.
Any comments about that?
It's a wonderful epiphany.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's terrific that you recognize that. You're starting to see the other side of the story, right?
Mm-hmm. But
this person is not, yeah, River is, who knows what's going on in River's life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Well, then I also thought this was unrelated to him, but I started thinking about, like, all this gender-bending stuff. How, like, I dress in a way, that's what we talked about, one of the things, was that
yes.
I dress in a way that would seem mannish.
Right.
And to me, it just, serves a function, and I don't see myself like that. I think of it more as preppy. And, you know, some people, the other side of that coin, people will say, oh, if she's dressing in drag, she's dressing like the opposite sex, right? But
right.
It seems like when women can go back and forth and it doesn't really matter, you know? Uh-huh. Like, and here it is for men, it's just the opposite. Like with you, like you probably aren't going to wear a skirt out in public without putting a lot of forethought into it if you right. were to ever do that, right? It'd be quite a brave thing for you to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you decided sure. to do that.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I actually thought of you. I thought, well, if my friend Faye wants to wear a girl's clothes, would I feel any less attached to him and love him as my friend and like his company? I'm like, no, it wouldn't matter. Uh-huh. And I guess that was another epiphany I had. It's just like all these notions of female and male, and it just doesn't serve a purpose anymore. And so if I'm going to want people to accept me, then I have to be able to accept other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you fully.
Comments, questions about that?
I don't know. I think this is... I'm glad to hear you speaking like this. Even though this was kind of subtle, like the way that you would react to people... And you know how you're always making up your backstories for people? You'll see somebody walking down the street.
I'm never
and you'll
gonna
apply
stop.
This yes. complete, you know, historical narrative for this person who, you know, they're just walking their dog, right?
Right.
and that always kind of bothered me because I think you're not, you don't know shit about these people or what's going on in their lives.
Right.
So I'm really happy to hear you say that, you know, this dork who's walking his dog is no different from me, like me, the Brenda.
Yeah.
Who knows what the dog walker has had to put up with in life. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I agree. We put far too much into people's gender or appearance or the way that they present themselves. And there's so much attached to this. Oh, you appear to be a man, so I'm going to treat you like a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you appear to be a woman who looks like a man, so I'm going to treat you like something weird. And we have to stop.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because our brains just want to put everything in categories. Like, look at the way, you know, animals are not animals. You know, this is an aardvark. This is a kangaroo. You know, we have to put labels and names on everything. And even when it comes down to, like, people, it's just not people. We're black people. We're white people. We're Asian people.
Right.
And then mm-hmm. it's like subset after subset after subset. And I don't think that does people any good. I think it's an antiquated idea that we don't really need to have anymore. You know, it's like people call it your lizard brain. It's just like always looking for danger when in reality we don't have to look at people's differences as danger anymore.
Right, exactly.
They're mm-hmm. not just all different tribes coming after you. I don't know. Well, that was just one of the things I thought of. And can I bring up some other stuff I had epiphanies
Please.
About?
Yes, go ahead.
So, I had a situation, Tallulah told me about at her job, where out of nowhere, they told her that her tattoo was unacceptable to be present.
Right.
Like she couldn't show it anymore. In the same breath, too, she was told that a very innocuous-looking pin on her uniform...
Oh, dear.
It was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And... my first reaction was like, wow, for her, was like, wow, you just can't win with these people. It's just never going to be enough. And that would be normally how I would take it. Like, I'd feel defeated. Like, I can never make them think I'm good enough.
Right.
And then I start thinking, like, well, what does the company think? The company just wants to present itself as, like, this unified place where people can come and just look at the employees as something, as a means to an end. They don't want you to see them as individuals.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, they can want that all they want, but I'm only going to play as far as I have to get that done.
Right.
So I just, instead of like just looking at my supervisor and just hating her because of it, I thought, well, I don't care. I'm going to follow your rules as much as I need to, but I'm not taking this on like I normally would.
Wow. Look at you and all your personal growth this week.
Ah, isn't that crazy?
Well, congratulations.
How would you react? I know you're a little, you're saucier than I am about this kind of stuff, but don't you ever feel compelled to try and please people?
Well, yeah, but I think, I mean, there's differences in normal life and in work life or corporate life. Mm-hmm. In my work, we're all about uniformity, right? We all wear uniforms, and we all definitely need to follow the OGs, the operating guidelines and operating procedures and all that. So, you know, we're in the corporate environment, we're just cogs in the wheel, and individuality is frowned upon, because if you do something your way, then it's not being done right. Mm-hmm. So I understand this corporate need to, you know, for everything must be done according to what the book says. So, I mean, I understand where Tallulah's company is coming from. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then you have to be unique in more clever ways, I think.
I see.
I don't think you need to, you don't need to stop being the person that you are, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is our work. We're supposed to do as we're told.
Yes. And for the amount of money Tallulah gets paid, she's not going to keep bringing this home with her. The minute she punches out, she's not going to be thinking about the bullshit. It's not worth it.
Exactly.
That was happening to her quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the other one. You know, being a podcaster, we all kind of get a lot of attention that we might not normally get in our everyday life, right?
Sure.
Sometimes we have opinions that are just normal opinions, but somehow since we've recorded them and put them on the internet, people give them more weight than what they deserve.
Right, which are then largely ignored.
Yeah, well,
for the most part, except for the odd situation.
Right. But having been always feeling kind of invisible my whole life, then to, you know, get on Vera's show and then kind of have a lot of attention that I wasn't used to, mm-hmm. It was kind of an ego boost for me, you know, made me feel special. Mm-hmm. And then, as with most things, the novelty wears off and the people kind of disappear, right?
Sure.
The comments kind of slow down, the attention stops, and you kind of think, what did I do wrong, right? Where did these people go?
Sure.
And I had a realization that the people that come and kind of fawn at you aren't, it's not you. It's not you that they're interested in. It's the novelty of you. It's the caricature of you that they've invented in their head. And when that novelty wears off, then they just go on to the next thing.
Okay.
So anyway, it just, I just say that it bothered me in the past where like people who I, who had reached out to me in the past, who I thought were, had made a connection with me on some level.
Yes.
It wasn't really me. It was kind of a caricature of me that they had seen.
Oh, okay.
Even though it was really me, it was always just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like when we were talking on Lotso, like Peter was saying how he can take sneaky pics of guys and he realized he maybe shouldn't do that. It's because he sees them as not as a full person, just as a sexy body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not the, a sexy body, but I'm like, oh, look at this this spunky girl, you know. Oh, well, I'm tired of this spunky girl. Let's move on to the next spunky girl.
I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, this Brenda Boo character is just a character. She's not really like that, when in fact you are. But I think for the most part, we're not, as podcasters, we're not entirely opening up our chests and pouring out our hearts about every single thing we think about, right?
No. No, I haven't told you all my deepest, darkest thoughts. That's
right.
True.
And nor would you, nor would you.
Yeah.
Not even to your best friend, maybe.
Well, you know most of my secrets, Faye. There's some information from my past, you know, you probably don't need or want to know. But
I want to say that I don't entirely agree with you about how your listeners or people that you thought you made a connection with have now forsaken you and moved on to whatever the next shiny personality is. I don't know if I can buy that.
Why not?
Because I think for some people who, if you have made a connection with people, like a good significant bond with a listener, we'll say, I think once you've built a bond with somebody, you can maintain it, but you don't have to keep continually feeding the fire.
Oh, okay.
I think your observation about people leaving you behind is not entirely true.
All right. I'll accept that because I listen to all kinds of podcasts and I really connect with them and I haven't said a darn word to them. So.
Precisely.
Yeah, because, well, they're usually like big. I would just be one in a million thousand people that have said something to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas for you and me, like, I'm not even sure if I have entirely 200 listeners. That one out of 200 listeners has more power for us, right? Has more meaning.
Right. Percentage wise. So that for somebody who has 1,000 listeners, 100 people would be significant. Whereas if you have 100 listeners, one or two would be significant.
Right.
So the last epiphany I had, is you ready for this one?
Go ahead.
Okay, it's just been fraught with things. So I've been reading several self-help books, and I don't take everything that they say. I just cherry-pick it and think, does this make sense to me?
Let's just leave a couple of these items out of this recipe.
That's right.
And we'll try to bake this bread with no eggs.
Well, you don't always need eggs. Sometimes eggs upset people's stomachs. No, but I mean, like, I don't read the book cover to cover. I just read the things that I feel like pertain to me.
Okay.
So, there was this thing about, like, I always felt growing up that my parents were a little emotionally distant.
Mm-hmm.
But they always provided for me, and, you know, I couldn't put a, you know, like, they weren't abusive. They didn't hit me. They didn't call me names. But there was something missing, and mm-hmm. I always felt like there was this hole in me. And I was reading this book that said that parents who don't provide like that kind of nest of support in terms of love and guidance,
mm-hmm.
people who go out from into the world after that kind of become a little emotionally needy.
Oh.
which some people.
Wow. Sounds
familiar.
Very familiar.
Is that you, Faye? Are you seeing yourself in that?
I wouldn't say I'm emotionally needy, but I might know some people who are.
Who's that?
Brenda.
Who's Brenda? How many friends do you have named Brenda?
Well, as far as I can tell, like 3 or 4.
Oh. Oh, dear. So, once you identify the problem, then there has to be a solution, right? That's, you know, just being aware of stuff doesn't do you any good. It's what you do with that information.
I see, yes. Uh-huh.
So I'm looking at it, and it says, you know, identify the things when you feel most vulnerable and blah, blah, blah. And it occurred to me that when I got married, that I really wanted my ex-husband to fulfill a lot of emotional needs for me.
Oh, yes, of course. A lifetime of mothering and fathering that you never got.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that when we got married, I mean, I was totally devoted to, I was ready. I had no doubt that this is the person I wanted to be in my life. Well, then he supplied enough emotional support for me that I felt like I could do more for myself. And that's really when the problem started.
No.
Because he picked me because he wanted somebody to be dependent or fill a spot for him, right?
Right.
And then when I started like saying, I don't think this is a good idea, this is when the problem started. So my point is that, like, I was having a conversation with my mother yesterday, and I've just had this kind of feeling like, you are never going to accept me or love me the way I want to be loved.
Ah.
And there's just nobody out there who's going to be able to do that. And I
right.
guess that's okay.
Right.
So I'm not saying that... you're going to see a totally different Brenda.
Right.
Can't promise that. But I'm trying. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to just by being better able to accept who I am and the contributions that I bring. And I am an okay person. I think I'm funny. I have my areas of expertise. Right. Math and computers not being one of them. Mm-hmm. But I contribute a lot to this world. And I guess if my parents don't ever see me the way I am, it's not my fault.
Right. Yeah.
They had me.
Mm-hmm. They had their chance.
Yeah.
And now you've become a better and stronger Brenda. And if they can't recognize it, then why should you waste your time trying to prove to them that you're worth whatever idea they think that you should be?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You must be exhausted, but with all these eureka points you've had in your life this last week.
Yeah, I feel calmer. I think, you know, Faye, having a period will fuck you up for 40 years of your life.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because I haven't seen that thing for a while, and I don't feel as up and down as I've always felt up and down every month, every other day, every week. It's crazy what estrogen does to you.
Wow. That's awful.
Yes, it's fucked up.
This is really amazing, this last epiphany you spoke about, you know, relating to your parents and your ex-husband and about how you tried, how you needed them to make you feel like a better person, and now that you realize that that's not the way it is, that's really wonderful. That you can be whoever you want to be, and that you recognize there's value in yourself. Just for being who you are, this is really wonderful.
And I don't know. Are you ready to hear a compliment?
I just want to tell you, I think we need to make you a cake now, and you can have that whatever day it is today can be your new birthday, Brenda.
Oh, what's today?
April 28th or something.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And you, go ahead. I'm ready for the next bomb.
No.
A compliment.
Yes, a compliment. I just wanted to say that it's no small part that having you in my life has made a... It really helped me to see a different way of looking at life, and just being friends with you and all the love and support for almost nothing in return that you give me has really helped heal my heart. And I just want you to know I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very nice. Good. I'm glad that I can be a part of your life, Brenda. That makes me feel really good.
You sound kind of stiff. Do you really mean it?
No. I'm trying to be just honest and heartfelt.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much. That's lovely. But you do bring value to my life, Brenda. So it's not for nothing in return, okay. Because you are a fun and funny person. And so you have shone light into the dark parts of my heart too.
Oh, good. Well, I think this is a very sweet way to end our drive time to Napa, don't you?
Yeah, it's very good.
All right. Well, if you've gotten through this very long episode, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, come back. Stick around. Next episode, we'll be back making fun of people and railing against the world.
Oh, that's not going to stop. Don't think that's going to stop. I still will make backstories, but I'll try not to be. That's just never going to go away, Faye. I'm sorry. It's too entertaining. That's what it is. It's an equalizer and it's an entertaining factor for me.
I don't know, Brenda. I foresee that someday you're going to be out walking the streets giving socks and blankets to homeless people at some point in your life. Sooner than you think.
I don't know. It's a lot of... I don't know how to knit, you know. Knitting socks. All right, Faye. Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. You can email us at fayeandbrenda@gmail.com.
Goodbye.